This is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Come on, come on, and welcome to another Cliffo and Bronte podcast. We talked about this at the start of the pod, and it's yesterday, I should say. We talked about it at the start of the pod. It's D-Day today. Bit of Last Stop Larimar.
Cannot get enough of this TV show. If you've watched it, you understand why. There is an appetite to find out more about this town, and luckily, Kylie Stevenson is a journalist who's willing to drive the 500 Ks from Darwin to go and be in Larimar.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
This guy went to Larimar, didn't leave.
Oh, spoiler.
More of that coming up. Also on the pod today, we want your extreme coffee orders.
Yes.
And we asked the question, what's the last thing you microwaved that's not food? And surprisingly, you got a lot of results.
You had a few people in your camp for this one.
People just as silly as I am.
Also, I did like when we did Simpsons stuff. We talked about the Simpsons and did your favourite quotes.
Threw that in there randomly.
That's what we do.
Just a panic producer bag. It's coming up, the Cliffo and Bronte podcast. In Australia, I remember, this is the one thing I remember from Mr. McNeil, my modern history teacher.
Shout out,
Mr. McNeil. He was very, very old.
Oh,
back when he taught me, and that was a long time ago.
Okay.
So I hope you're still with us, Mr. McNeil. Great guy. But I remember him saying that Australia is a land of innovation, of innovators.
Yeah, we are.
And that's because of its remoteness, Australia. We are one island, you know. I imagine the English back in the day, if they didn't know how to make pasta, then just go over to Italy and go, hey, guys, how do you do it? Bring it back. We didn't have that in Australia.
Mm.
So innovation was born. We can come up with Band-Aid fixes to situations.
All right. Is this the beginning of your, like, political career or something?
And I'd like to announce that I'm running for local... No, I say it because I'm building myself up, to be honest, because I feel like I was the embodiment of that across the weekends when my 9-year-old daughter had a problem. And I didn't whinge. I didn't carry on.
Don't look
at
me when you say that.
I found a solution, Bronte. So my daughter wanted to wear her favourite pair of shorts. She's got these little denim shorts or whatever. I don't know. Mum bought them for her at Kmart. It's a whole thing, but she's just obsessed with them at the moment.
Right.
They got a wash on Friday. She wanted to wear them on Saturday. Me doing the washing, I left it in overnight.
Oh.
I was supposed to do that, apparently. But I hung it up Saturday morning. After dancing, she's like, where's my shorts? I'm like, oh, I've just hung them on the line about half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we were ready to go. And she's like, well, I have to wear them. So I took them off. And I'm going to say they were probably like 80, maybe 90% dry.
Yeah.
But being denim, you know, like the bottom bit dries.
Yeah.
It's just the top, the thicker bit.
The waistline. Yeah, it's always a bit damp.
But it wasn't wet. It was just a little damp. And she's like, well, what are we going to do? So I just got a bit of paper towel and I put it in the microwave and I sat the jeans on the microwave. I did check that there's no studs on them first.
Great.
So no studs
there
are in there.
There is a zipper though, isn't there?
They're stretchy ones.
Okay, great.
So I've put them in, just put them in for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like our microwave, you hit the start button, just does a 30-second max thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's every microwave, Cliffo. Nothing fancy about that. Don't know if it quite dried them, but it definitely warmed them up to the point where, like, it appeased a 9-year-old.
She could put them on without complaining. It was uncomfortable kind of thing.
I did make a note, like, don't you go starting to put things in the microwave.
Good.
This is dad only.
Yeah.
But it did get me thinking. 13-10-60, what did you microwave? What have you microwaved in the past that is not food?
I was going to come for you to be like, I don't know if you should be putting like material like that in the microwave. But then I realized a lot of girls, when you've got like stomach cramps or whatever, will put those bean baggy heat packs in the microwave.
Like wheat bags.
Wheat bags. So clearly the microwave can take more than food.
I think you're going to say underwear there. I've heard of people zapping their undies.
Why? Just for fun?
Oh, it's nice to put on something warm on a cold winter's morning. Just quickly, what I have heard of before, and I don't know if this is true because I heard of it before. I literally just Googled it this morning.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was much of a market for this as a phone topic. But apparently, according to the internet, so take it with a grain of salt, if you get a bit of candle wax, like on a shirt or something, microwave it.
No.
And it'll soften it so it's easier to clean off.
Really?
Maybe. That's what the internet says.
Hey, I'll believe it.
The internet says it. 13, 10, 60, add to the list. Mm. So we've got a little pair of denim shorts. We've got the wheat packs or whatever.
That's normal, though. That's fine.
They're meant to be microwaved. Yeah. We've got candle wax.
Yes.
What has someone microwaved that is not food?
I like it.
13, 10, 60. Amelia's here. Amelia, what did you put in the microwave that's not food?
Grade 12 table tennis ball. We were meant to, like, put a cup of water in with it.
Yeah.
Because it pops out the dents and stuff.
That's, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, if there's the dent. Yeah.
Yeah, but we forgot the water.
So what happens to a ping pong ball in the microwave?
Disintegrated, nothing left.
I feel like at this point we should do the old, hey, don't try this at home.
Do not take this advice.
These are not suggestions.
Exactly.
In fact, this is a list of not want to do, a what not to do. Callum on 13, 10, 60. What did you pop in the microwave, mate?
I put an ice.
Ice?
You put ice in the microwave?
Why, Callum?
Were you just mucking around, Callum?
No, I just thought that it would taste better. Like warm.
Did it become water?
No, it just kind of just disappeared.
Yeah.
It became condensation. This is science here.
Callum did a science experiment.
Callum, just promise your old mates Cliffo and Bronte something. Stop putting stuff in the microwave for fun, okay?
Oh.
Nah,
you can't make that promise.
Thanks for giving us a ring, though, okay?
Yeah, all good.
Jen's here next. Jen, what do you put in the microwave that's not food?
I put my plates in the microwave, Cliffo.
Oh.
Your plates?
Why?
I put my plates in the microwave for 30 seconds to a minute to warm them up, and then I put my dinner on them to keep my dinner warm.
Clever.
Jen.
Mind blowing, hey.
I feel like they do that at restaurants. Because if you guys ever had like dinner delivered at a restaurant before and you touch the plate and it's quite warm.
And they say, careful, it's quite hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jen.
We're cracking
don't know
the
why
secrets.
We're speaking like we're spies, Jen. But we are. Lizzie's next. Lizzie, what do you put in the microwave that's not food?
Hey, so it wasn't me, it was my sister, and she microwaved acetone.
What's
like
that?
the main ingredient for nail polish remover.
Ah.
Why?
To soak off some acrylic. She heard that you had to, like, heat it up, but you absolutely didn't.
Oh.
So how did that end? Oh, my God,
the whole microwave was ruined. The house stank. Everything you tried to put in there tasted chemically. It was horrible. My dad was fuming.
Yeah,
how did her nails turn out, though?
Yeah.
They came off, but I believe she burned herself because it was really hot.
Oh, okay.
I reckon that's a question Dad didn't ask. Alphabucks back tomorrow, Thursday, November 9. And this is the part of the pod where we give you a free answer.
Yes, we do. Served up in a carry tray as you would look to receive.
You've rung your little bell, ding-a-ling-a-ling, and here we are at your beck and call.
Would you like chicken or fish?
Always the beef.
Okay, beef wasn't an option.
Especially
not on Singapore Airlines.
Oh, okay.
That's the clue.
That's a weird clue.
I'm guessing it's an airline starting with S.
S is your letter. Singapore Airlines. I'm hoping it's an airline starting with S.
Yeah.
We'll find out. S your letter. Singapore Airlines, your free answer for tomorrow's Alphabucks.
It has been called Australia's answer to Tiger King. It is called Last Stop Larimar. It is a Netflix two-part series that is taking over the country and the world. This is what it sounds like.
Last time I saw Paddy was December the 16th. The next day I did go looking for him.
He wasn't there.
Everyone in Larimar was a suspect.
What's your relationship with Paddy?
Did you knock Paddy off?
Where's Paddy's body?
Do you know what happened? Are you involved?
I don't know nothing.
If you are like Cliffo and I, you are obsessed. You want to know more. Well, good news. There is a podcast called Lost in Larimar, and there is a book all about this 11-person town that loses one person. Kylie Stevenson, the woman behind these incredible projects, joins us. Morning, Kylie.
Good morning.
Kylie, it's so great to have you on. Bronte and I are obsessed with this story right now, and I think I've worked out why. You've got a township in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Northern Territory, with 11 people, one goes missing, suspected murdered. Mm. It's got all the makings of a great, like, Agatha Christie style whodunit, in that we have really eccentric characters, but also they're all sort of like, unlike an Agatha Christie, they're not locked in a mansion or something. They're all just in this little town, and we've got to try and work out who done it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of what drew me and my co-author Caroline Graham to this story. So I'd been down to Larimer in 2016 and I met Paddy Moriarty, and it was about a year after that that he went missing, and we got really drawn into the town and spent 5 years following this.
Kylie, this town, you say down, you know, in NT, it's 500 Ks away from Darwin. What were you doing going to Larimer in the first place?
Yeah, that's a bit of a weird answer. The NT Writers' Centre actually had a residency down there because there used to be an author up here called Andrew McMillan, and when he passed away, he left some money to the Writers' Centre for this residency to run each year because he used to go down there, right? And yeah, I ended up doing that. I spent 2 weeks in the pub hanging out with everyone in the town, meeting everyone, and then a year later, one of the people I met went missing.
You could Google, like, eccentric Australians in a pub or something, and this is, like, this is what would come up. Tell us a little bit about your time in Larimer and I guess your relationship with some of those core characters who we now know through your work and through the Netflix doco.
Yeah, because we spent so much time there on and off over the years, we did get to know everyone pretty well. There are only, you know, 10 of them. So, you know, it's pretty easy to get around and meet everyone and spend a bit of time with them. We ended up loving Larimer, to be honest, which sounds a bit ludicrous.
Yeah.
But it's this place that kind of gets under your skin.
Wow.
And you go in and knock on someone's door and just say, hey, I'm doing this podcast. They go, I don't know what a podcast is. Sure, come in, have a chat. Here's a cup of tea. And, it was just a brilliant experience.
And so a lot of, you know, the story behind Paddy's disappearance stems on ongoing conflicts between different members of the town. They all seem to hate each other. From your time there, is that pretty accurate? Were they all pretty hostile with each other?
Not all with each other. There are certain core groups of friendships within that. And I think that since this has happened, there are more people who are more friendly. A few people have passed away.
Mm.
And that's kind of changed a bit of the dynamic of the town as well.
Sure.
You are a journalist, Kylie, so it's your job to report the news rather than make it yourself. But surely, like, after the podcast and the book and so much time in Larimer, you must have a theory as to what happened to Paddy Moriarty.
Look, this is an open case. Mm. I can't really comment on that, but there was an inquest into Paddy's disappearance, and the coroner did come back and say that he believed that Paddy was killed in the context of a feud with his nearest neighbours, which is a woman who lived across the road from him, named Fran Hodgetts, who runs a pie shop there in Larimer, and her gardener who was living with her at the time, Owen Laurie.
Yep, and there is a very interesting, I won't say break in the case, but at the end of the second episode, I think it kind of pushes one narrative in particular as to what possibly happened to Paddy.
Yeah, I don't believe for a second she put him in the pies.
I do. That's
Kylie, what's next? You've done the podcast. You've done the book. There's all this interest around the Paddy Moriarty case and just the township itself. Have you got something else in the works?
When we finished the book and the podcast, we did sell the option to NBC Universal and Matchbox Pictures, and there is talk of that becoming a fictionalized television series, but we'll wait and see. Those things are a long process.
All right. Well, it's on Netflix now, but get around this woman's work. The podcast is called Lost in Larimer. The book is called Larimer. Kylie Stevenson, I can see why you got so caught up in this world. Bronte and I certainly have. Thank you for talking us through it this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you beat Bronte? I need to ask you some questions. It's 800 Wednesday. The Brontosaurus going for 16 wins. back to back for Sweet 16.
They said it couldn't and wouldn't be done, and we're breaking this record every day.
Mate, I said it couldn't be done.
I thought it wouldn't be
You're
done.
You're looking at the biggest naysayer in your life when it comes to this game. Standing in your way today is Mick, who wants the 800 for a particularly expensive dentist appointment. What's going on with the pegs, Mick?
Oh, I just got to get a little bit of work done. Nothing too major, but yeah, just a bit of trim up and
Fair enough. If it's not included in your private health, you got to pay for it some way.
No, I don't have private health. I'm looking at private health.
There you go. Mick needs the money.
You want to. Bronte wants to take you down and prevent and stand in the way of essential dental work.
Why are we surprised? I beat a person in a hospital bed the other day. I took money away from an eight-month-old's Christmas.
You were talking about bringing down, playing the game against kids, like we Dark Fox kids, taking down kids.
I'll take down kids.
There's no level she won't stoop to.
She's all heart.
Let's get rid of her for 30 seconds, shall we? And for you, mate, we'll put that 30 seconds on the clock. It's five questions, $800 on the line. You good to go, mate?
Let's do it.
Mick, your time starts now. According to mythology, who was the wife of Hades?
Pass.
Australia is separated from which country by the Tasman Sea?
New Zealand.
Which two colours make purple?
Green and blue.
What bird is the universal symbol of peace?
Dove.
What is the name of Katniss Everdeen's sister in The Hunger Games?
Pass.
Down to Tom. So I do a little like pre-read of the questions, same as you, mate. That one was sort of on the tip of my tongue.
I've watched Hunger Games that many times. I should know that
one. Should know it, mate.
Should have known it.
Don't say it comes to you now. The Brontosaurus. I should get the Darth Vader music though.
I would love that. Yeah, can't we?
All right, stand by for that tomorrow.
Yeah, great. Well, who knows? We might not need it.
$800. 16 wins is what Bronte's going for. 30 seconds between her and greatness. Your time starts?
Yep.
Now, according to mythology, who is the wife of Hades?
Personami.
Australia is separated from which country by the Tasman Sea?
Antarctica.
What two colours make purple?
Blue and red.
What bird is the universal symbol of peace?
The dove.
What is the name of Katniss Everdeen's sister in The Hunger Games?
Primrose.
Whoop.
Primrose Everdeen.
Okay. I'm going to bring Mick back. Mick, you there?
Yeah.
All right.
My legs hurt.
Let's go to producer Beck. Beck, how did you do?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Okay, so this first one, who is the wife of Hades? It is. Is this the correct pronunciation? Persephone, I believe.
Yes. Can I have half? Personami. Personami.
I'll give you a half a point there. Mick pass.
I got news for you, Beck. You're the judge. If you don't know, we're stuffed.
I'm not gonna lie. I did miss Bronte's next question because I was googling.
She said Antarctica, so she got that one wrong.
Oh, well, that's very bad.
But Mick got that one wrong. It's New Zealand.
It is New Zealand. You're right. The two colours that make purple are red and blue. Mick said green and blue. Sorry, Bronte, what did you say?
I said red and blue.
No, I'm kidding. the universal symbol of peace is the dove. You both got that one right. And the name of Katniss Everdeen's sister is Primrose. So Bronte got
just
four.
She's done it!
When will it end?
I'm sorry, Mick.
Yep, no worries.
He's done.
Sorry for your lack of dental work.
He doesn't care. He's given up. He's gone.
I haven't, though.
Mate, 8:50 Thursday.
This is just uncharted territory.
What's tomorrow
going to
be 7th? This, I can't believe it.
What do we have the money for this?
Are you guys in cohorts? you bribing?
Cahoots?
Are you bribing Beck? It's,
I'm just that smart.
After her efforts there on question one, I don't know if that's happening. Can you be Bronte? 8:50 Thursday tomorrow morning on Hits. Woo! Yesterday, I tried very poorly to explain to you what the Darwin Awards are.
Yes.
After I saw a potential nominee. I'd butchered it, but I've Googled it this morning.
Thank God.
For those who aren't across it, I really stumbled my way through the explanation yesterday. The Darwin Awards recognize individuals who have supposedly contributed to human evolution by eliminating themselves from the gene pool. That's where they have the Darwin Awards.
Dumb people.
Named after Charles Darwin. Dumb people, right? And I saw myself a nominee on the weekends. This gentleman was riding a bike towards incoming traffic.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. Like, he wasn't on, like, there was a bike lane.
Yeah, yeah, but.
But he was not riding with the traffic.
He was going against.
Going against the traffic. So probably should have been on the bike lane on the other side. But whatevs. And I've always considered riding a bike like the one thing you're doing. If you're riding a bike, that's what you're doing. I'm a man. I do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
If I'm riding a bike, that's what I'm doing.
No, I think that's fair enough.
This gentleman was doing so many things that when we pulled over, so I wouldn't forget them, I actually listed them down on the notes app on my phone. So he was riding a bike, number one.
Yep.
With headphones on.
Yeah, no. Number two. That's a big no-no.
So there must have been Bluetooth because there was no wire or anything hanging there, but I assume something, like some sort of awful music would have been playing through.
Or maybe a podcast.
Look, I don't think he was streaming Hit on the Listener app looking at this guy. Right? So that's two things. The third thing he was doing was he was smoking.
Oh, my God. So he was doing a one-handed bike ride against traffic with headphones on, smoking.
Well, maybe a no-handed bike ride at times because there was a fourth thing he was doing, and this is the big clencher. He was also scrolling on his phone.
Oh, my God.
So we're up to riding his bike towards incoming traffic, not looking because he had headphones on. So not listening or looking.
No.
Had headphones on, was smoking and scrolling on a phone with no helmet to add insult to injury.
He's not a nominee, mate. He's the winner of the Darwin. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My wife got to, like, levels of anger that I don't very often see in her. She was pissed off that this guy was endangering himself and maybe endangering others. But I'm going to be honest, I got to Anchorman levels of emotion seeing this guy.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
No.
This guy...
That's what I thought.
Get him in the circus.
Coffee, coffee, coffee before we teachy-teachy.
Coffee is the nectar of our lives. You and I are coffee drinkers, as many Queenslanders are. What have you got over there?
Have a sip right now.
Yeah, can you please?
That's a Woolworths home brand Nescafe capsule, because I buy the cheap brand now, because I'm a tight ass.
Must be nice. Well, we're talking coffee this morning after we played Lyrical Gangster yesterday after 7:30, as we have been for the last week and a half, and we had a competitor called Jenna, who is our carryover champ. You can go up against her in about 15 minutes. But it was something about Jenna that had her so fired up that I want to talk about a bit more. What's your order? What do you like to have?
You know, I have a large cappuccino with four extra shots. So it's got like 10
Jenna,
shots.
God. Oh, sorry. A large cappuccino, which would have what, three? And then you get four extra shots.
Yeah. It's a bit hectic, I know.
That should be a narcotic. So that was in a large now. Three shots in a large.
I would assume. So Dill owns
There's
a cafe.
At least two.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say in one of his, it's three shots in a large. So.
So 3 + 4 is 7.
7 shots of coffee. Floored me when Jenna revealed it. What are you? What's your coffee order?
We've talked about this before. I have the most basic biatch coffee order there is.
Yeah.
I have, guys, are you ready?
Please.
I have a flat white with one sugar. The most standard coffee order on the planet. And I've said to you in the past it's the most standard coffee order. Mm. And I know I've said, oh, but maybe a cappuccino with one is more standard. And you're like, no, flat white is probably the most ordered coffee at Dill's Coffee Shop.
Yeah, so definitely at Fresno.
Flat white with one.
I wanted to get your order because I want a base. I want the flat white with one sugar as the base of our coffee orders. And then Jenna at the top with 7 shots of coffee. What I want on 131060... to fill this middle gap. I want people's weird coffee orders, the ones that you feel a bit embarrassed that you have to ask for, but that's how you like your coffee. Yeah. So no judgment here. That's what I want to know.
So anyone from Melbourne, call us right now, 131060. I like that because now it's, you know, iced frappe on soy.
With caramel.
Turmeric lattes with a swirl of unicorn feathers.
Ooh, so that is my order, actually. You're correct.
A little bit of glitter on the top, gold rimmed glass. It's getting
beautiful.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And I want to know how you got this coffee order in the beginning, how people react. If you're a barista, maybe what's the craziest coffee order you've ever gotten?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like all of that stuff. Maybe you just like Jenny, you just like seven shots of coffee. Yeah.
So if my flat white with one is the most basic,
yes,
and we're up there with seven shot Jenna.
Yes.
Fill the gaps.
Please.
131060. What's your weird coffee order? Sarah's here. How you going, Sis?
Good, thanks yourself, guys.
Good.
Have you had a coffee this morning?
Not yet, but I'm on the way to get one.
What are you going to get?
Give us the order.
So I usually get a caramel cappuccino and I add marshmallows to it.
Oh, you sound like a child. That's a very, that's a big kid coffee, that one, Sarah.
Yeah.
How do they react
when
you ask for marshmallows? Do they often have them?
Yeah, so they have them for the hot chocolates and stuff. So some of the baristas just look at me funny and others are just like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's your money.
Hey, that's right. It's a sale. Ange is here. What's your weird coffee order?
My mum gets extra hot, extra short, extra chalk on top. Decaf.
Decaf. Shun the non-believer.
Extra large, extra hot, extra short.
Extra chalk.
Sorry. Decaf. decaf coffee.
What's the point?
What is the point?
What is the point?
Honestly, go and have a glass of water. George, what's your weird coffee order?
Shot of coffee with orange juice.
What?
George.
Yeah.
How did that start?
I work in a cafe and I had a customer order it one day and I thought, well, that's odd. So I went and asked her and she said it was like a detox and she'd been doing it for 6 months and she actually lost weight and bloatingness through it.
Right.
So I was curious, so I had to try it myself and, yeah, I sort of don't drink coffee normally now.
There you go. We should history.
Can you hold there, George?
When I went and asked Matt, when I went through the drive-thru at Macca's and asked them for it, and they had to ask me three times, "Mom, Jack,
yeah, how do we put that through?" Hold there, George. I'm just thinking we could get George's number.
Yeah.
Get George back on the phone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try it out.
I would really like to
give it a quick taste because let's not knock it till we try it.
No, I agree.
But if we have George here, well, are you happy to come back on tomorrow, George?
Yeah, that's right. Fine.
Sounds good to me. You don't want to do John's order?
Let's end with John. John, give us your order, brother. What is it?
It wasn't an order. Up until about 2005, I used to drink about 30 espressos a day.
John!
30 espressos a day.
Yeah, I'm a chef and ex-restaurateur, Italian background. I grew up drinking coffee from a young age and, yeah, you used to drink between 20 and 30 espressos a day.
So is espresso just a one shot in a glass or would you double shot sometimes?
Oh, most times it was a double shot.
And is it true? It says on the phone tag here, you had so much coffee you needed a liver transplant.
Yeah, 2005 I went out and surgery and caffeine damage to my kidney, my liver, and I had a liver transplant.
John!
If only you had a switch to the coffee and orange juice.
Oh,
brother.
We could have all saved a bit of money.
All that vitamin C. It's good for you.
Australia's biggest party returns.
R&B Fridays presents Fridays Live.
Get your tickets at frontiertouring.com.
Cliffo and Bronte. Lyrical
youngster. Getting as much of a shout-out this morning as R&B Fridays presents Fridays Live is our carryover champ from yesterday, also known as Seven Shot,
Seven Shot Jenna.
Jenna. Have we had the Seven Shot coffee?
I am out the front of my coffee shop, McRae's News, right now, drinking my coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
Shout-out to McRae. Thank you for keeping Jenna caffeinated. Standing in your way between, you know, you and lyrical gangster glory is Nathan. Nathan, you've been to a Friday's Live before, brother, or would this be a first?
I know this would be a first.
Oh, it'd be a good one to start. Can we just get your coffee order, though, just so I know?
It's a Grande Caramel Fudge Latte from Duracas.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Yeah,
kickbacks
mate.
This morning. I like it.
Calm down.
Okay, I'm going to play an R&B hit now. If you know the next line when the song cuts out, you buzz in with your names. Test your buzzers for us, please, guys.
Nathan.
Jenna.
Ooh, quick off the mark.
Nice and quick. Seven-shot Jenna v. God, whatever Nathan said.
Caramel Grande Nathan.
Yeah, Caramel Grande Nathan. You ready for your song, guys?
Yeah.
Lyrical Gangster. Good luck. Here we go.
Damn right, it's better than yours. Oh, Jenna.
Jenna.
Damn right, it's better than yours.
Oh, she jumped the gun, but I think she's done it. It's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge my milkshake. Brings all the boys to the yard. We shouldn't be surprised. That's what seven shots of coffee does to a person.
It fries their brain. But Jenna, 2 days in a row. Congrats.
Well done, Jenna.
Thanks, Nathan.
Sorry, Nathan. You can try again if you want, brother.
Yeah, all good, guys. I'll definitely try again.
All right. You have a good day. Enjoy the Caramel Grande Frappuccino Latte, whatever.
Whatever it was. Those sweet, sweet kickbacks from Zarafas, Nathan. Well done. So just doing the maths, Jenna, you've only got to win two more times, okay?
Oh, this is awesome. Thank you.
Tomorrow.
You're so welcome.
And if you're last man standing, if you win on Friday, you are off to Friday's Live. November 17th, so it's Friday week, and tickets still on sale at frontiertouring.com. Right now to another television show that has been accused of going woke, and it was probably one of the last shows I would expect to go woke.
Yeah.
I'm talking about The Simpsons.
Been on since 1989, The Simpsons.
A long time ago.
I don't
remember a time in my life when The Simpsons wasn't there.
Yeah.
I think its height was probably in the late 90s, early noughties. Absolutely. When Channel 10 would run it when the news was on.
Mm-hmm.
Be a fight between the kids and mum.
I think.
That's what you're going to watch.
I remember, I think this is just shows how important The Simpsons was for like you and I growing up. I remember the first day mum said, you're allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Oh, wow.
I still remember it. It was just the greatest day of my life.
I had a friend once that wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Yep.
And I found so many jokes I would pull just would fall flat with this person because they just didn't get it, you know?
Did you cut them out of your life?
So I left, not friends anymore. The Simpsons is under fire for retiring one of its longest running gags, with a recent episode featuring Homer declaring that times have changed and he will no longer be strangling his son Bart.
Whoa, that's quite a grip.
See, Marge? Strangling the boy has paid off. Just kidding. I don't do that anymore. Times have changed.
So that has been Homer's choice of punishment when Bart does something wrong.
Yeah.
Since 1989, he would grab Bart, and then, of course, the gag was Bart's mouth would open wide, the tongue would come out,
yes,
and the eyes would bulge.
Yeah. Look, I guess I'm surprised that gag has continued. I haven't watched The Simpsons for a very long time. I thought they wouldn't be retired so much as maybe Bart wasn't naughty still. I didn't realize he's still a bad, bad boy. So the fact it was still being used surprises me. The fact it's being retired and acknowledged in that way, I feel like they could have just not done it again.
And just not talked about it. Acknowledged it,
yes,
in an episode is the only reason we do know about it.
And yes.
Look, a lot of people in these situations, they say things like, you know, you go woke, you go broke, but I think The Simpsons,
they'll be fine.
They're going to be okay. They're going to be just fine. Talking about The Simpsons, accusations, they're going woke because Homer's not going to be choking Bart anymore.
And I think they could have gone under the radar with it if they hadn't addressed it in the episode. So that's why they're woke. Just should have stopped strangling him.
The only reason people care, just be woke.
Yeah.
But don't tell us about it. All right?
Keep it to yourself.
131060, call us anytime. Carlos, were you allowed to watch The Simpsons as a kid?
I was not. I was one of those.
One of those.
Yeah, one of the naughty kids. So I used the pretense that I was doing extracurricular activities because me fail English, that's impossible.
He's done his research.
So he has watched The Simpsons. So how did you used to what? You used to fake that you're doing?
I'd say that I was doing extra tuition because me fail English. That's impossible.
And you would
went to a friend's house to watch.
Oh, my goodness.
Sneak in The Simpsons while your parents thought you were doing homework.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you got to do. It shaped us as a generation, you know. Hopefully we don't take all of the lessons from The Simpsons, but some of them are funny.
Desperate times, desperate measures, Carlos. Thanks for the call, mate.
I ate my crayon.
I choose you.
What did I like? My cat's breath smells like cat food. They're all Ralph Wiggum. Clearly he's the most quotable.
Producer Beck, this means nothing to you, does
yeah.
it?
I don't get it, guys.
You haven't watched The Simpsons?
I wasn't allowed to watch it, and I was well-behaved and didn't sneak it.
I don't believe that for a second.
So if I say something like, hi, everybody.
It just means nothing to me.
You don't know what to say after that.
No.
Hi, Dr. Nick. Just for everyone playing along at home. Anyway, we're going to need a new producer.
Doesn't know who Kent Brockman is. Has never heard of Troy McClure and the amazing things he's starred in the past.
Oh, my God. The list is endless.
The whole world.
Should we just keep doing Simpsons quotes for the next 2 hours? I'm down.
Do you want to throw the run sheet out and just go 13, 10, 60? What's your favourite Simpsons quote?
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Or, you know, Beck answers the phone, so just say anything. She's not going to know if it's from The Simpsons.
She won't know, yeah, exactly. You can just come up and... No, we should do. If you've
all
got...
right. Well, we were only going to do trending, and that's disposable.
As we all know.
13, 10, 60 right now. What's your favourite Simpsons quote?
Yeah, I love it.
Give us a ring. 13 10 60. Scott's here. Scott, I take it, unlike Beck, you were actually allowed to watch The Simpsons, mate?
Absolutely. Best mum ever.
Yes, yeah. Best mum. Have you got a favourite quote?
It's a two-part series, this one.
Great.
First quote has to be, Duffman can't breathe. Oh, no.
Love it. Love it.
And I reckon the best scene of any Simpsons episode ever is when Bart and Lisa are going to be playing against each other in the ice hockey, and they're in the bedroom and they're throwing their arms and kicking their legs.
Yes.
And then Homer's eating the pie and he does the same thing and hits his head on the cabinet.
I can literally see this playing out before my eyes. I think they're great, Scott. I do think the monorail episode.
This is what, if I wasn't
to be the best,
then,
though,
Scott, I am frantically Googling. I'm just going to Google monorail song.
I can just sing it if you want.
It's the episode that was actually written by Conan O'Brien.
You can tell.
For racing on tap, download the tap.
YouTube wants to... You know, I tried, guys.
You tried.
I tried.
I'll just sing it. Monorail. What's it called? Monorail.
It's planned for rebuilding Main Street. Please.
You know what, Scott, we got to go. Thanks for your call, though, brother.
Right. Were you sent here by the devil?
No, good sir, I'm on the level.
The ring came off my pudding can.
Take my penknife, my good man. I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
Once again.
Monorail.
And apologies to all the people who weren't Simpsons fan like Beck.
Yeah, yeah. Switch stations.
We've completely lost this morning.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.